In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Over the last several Sundays, we have essentially followed Jesus Christ as he was beginning his ministry. He had selected most of his apostles, and he has spent a great deal of time teaching them in what has come down to us, what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Then he began to travel throughout various villages and towns, teaching and performing various miraculous acts. And in the 8th chapter and 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, which we have proclaimed over the last couple of weeks, and will continue to proclaim over the next few weeks, we see some of these miracles proclaimed. The last few weeks we have heard about the servant of the Roman centurion who was sick with a palsy that Jesus healed. Then he went to a place called the Gergesene Valley where he fell on a man who was possessed by a demon, and he performed an exorcism on this man and healed him and made him in his right mind once again. Last week we heard about another man who was sick of the palsy who came before Christ, and Christ healed him, but not before he first forgave the man of all his sins. And in between there were things that happened which we did not read about, things like when Christ healed the mother-in-law of St. Peter of a terrible fever that had her close to death, or also when he healed the daughter, or when he raised from the dead the daughter of a synagogue rabbi, when he just called out her name and told her to arise after she had been dead for some time. And then there was this woman who had a flow of blood for 18 years, who was healed by Christ simply by touching the hem of his garment. So in the verse before where our gospel begins today, it says simply this: his fame hereof went out abroad into all the land. Jesus was becoming a little bit famous. He was beginning to get a little bit of a following. And this did not set well with many of the Pharisees, because in between the miracles that he performed, some of which he actually performed, much to their chagrin, on the Sabbath day, he also went and he sat at the table of St. Matthew and called him to be one of his apostles. St. Matthew, of course, was a tax collector. And also at this table with Matthew were other known sinners of various types and various outcasts from good Jewish society. And so the Pharisees began to spread their dismay around to the people. And word spread quickly, and it got back to the Lord. And the Lord was quick to declare exactly what his ministry was all about. He said this: they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick do need a physician. And then, loosely quoting Psalm 50, he said this, and expanded on it by saying, learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call sinners to repentance. I desire mercy, he says. And in today's gospel, it begins by saying, he went on into the next town, and what happened? He immediately met two blind men who were requesting of him that very mercy that he said he desired. Ie David, they said, son of David, eleisonimos, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, son of David, they say. They did not actually even ask that they might receive their sight, but they called for mercy from the one that they called son of David, which was a clear messianic reference, because they had heard of all the miracles that Christ was doing and the healings of various forms of diseases. And all these things were things that they had heard that the Messiah was doing. So when they said, when they called him Ie David, son of David, they were clearly thinking of possibly this man could be the Messiah. Back when I was a parish priest myself and preached every week, I would take the opportunity every 3 or 4 years to speak about the meaning of the word mercy, both biblically and in the Orthodox Church, and I will take time to do that this morning. Without doubt, mercy is the most often used word in Orthodox life, especially in the services of the Church. In our liturgy today alone, we will probably hear the word mercy recited close to 100 times, if not more. I didn't sit down and count it, but one time I did. We also hear our petitions answered with a plea for mercy. Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. Sometimes even three times. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison. We hear our psalms and our hymns mention mercy over and over again. In our scriptures, our doxologies, and our prayers, it is the most commonly used word, and I must say that it is my favorite word in the whole Orthodox dictionary, if you might say, because I have received so much mercy myself. So when we hear the Greek word eleison, Kyrie eleison, and we hear it said over and over again, and also in prayers, personal prayers, like the Jesus prayer, where we say, eleison me, have mercy on me, particular, are like the blind men in the gospel today, who said, eleison imas, have mercy on us. So I would like to look at what this word mercy is, that Christ tells us that he desires more from us than even sacrifice itself. We in the Orthodox Church look at mercy a little bit differently from the way most Western Christian churches do. In the West, the word mercy comes from the Latin word, root word called misere, from which we get the word misery, or miserable, or miser, things like that. Mercy in the West has come to be a form of pity. It is a release from some penalty or obligation or some type of justice that has been imposed upon us. Every morning I get up real early. I like to watch old reruns of Perry Mason and the black and white things. Amazing how the man never lost a case. Or if he did, I haven't seen it yet. But you hear people say on that show a lot, I throw myself on the mercy of the court, or throw yourself before the mercy of the court. So mercy, in Western understanding, is an absolution from something that you deserve because of your actions or because of your situation in life. It has a juridical theme of sorts. But in the Eastern world from which Orthodoxy was born, mercy, as I said earlier, comes from the Greek word eleon, which is the same word as the word for oil, particularly olive oil. And we see that the uses of eleon, oil, in that culture are many and varied. They used it medically to anoint, to soothe wounds, and to heal and comfort like a balm. In the Gospel of the Good Samaritan, we are told after the Samaritan picks up the injured man on the side of the road, he takes him and he pours into his wounds oil and wine and carries him off on his own beast and sends him to an inn to be taken care of. So mercy, so that it lay on oil, was to anoint, to heal, to comfort like a balm. It was also used as a way of grooming oneself. We hear this in Psalm 104 where it says, God has given us oil to make our faces shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. I guess they put oil, they rubbed it to make their faces look good and shine, and as they put oil on their hair, as many people used to do, and some still do today. Oil, a way for grooming oneself. And of course, it is used in a very great way as part of the diet in both the Middle East and the Mediterranean world. It makes food taste good. It is said to lower certain forms of cholesterol and to aid in personal health. And then, of course, religiously, it was used to anoint both kings and priests as they began their anointed ministries. So when we say, Kyrie eleison, have mercy on us, O Lord, we are incorporating all of those themes of the meanings of the word eleon into the petition of Christ to ask him to make us whole again, to heal our spiritual wounds, and to show us both compassion and mercy. We have already heard this morning in our liturgy in the Beatitudes, where Christ told his apostles, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. These are the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, as I said, where he says also in St. Luke's version, be ye merciful as the Father in heaven is merciful. St. Gregory of Nyssa, who was the little brother of St. Basil the Great and St. Macrina, who we celebrate today, St. Macrina. St. Gregory of this writes a whole lot about mercy, and he says this: if Scripture calls God merciful, and mercy is suitable to God, then what else does the word invite of you but to become like God? For if a man is merciful, then he is deemed worthy of the divine beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Christ was merciful to the blind man in the gospel today. And being merciful means having compassion on those who are in need. We also said this morning in one of our antiphons, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, long-suffering and of great goodness. Mercy and compassion are used interchangeably, both in the Scriptures and in the writings of the Fathers. And as St. Gregory continues, he puts it, he says this: mercy is an intensified love, a voluntary sorrow that joins itself to the suffering of others, and it calls us to place ourselves in an equal situation with those who do not enjoy the same benefits as ourselves. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did at his incarnation to each and every one of us. He joined himself to suffering humanity, taking the form of a slave, as St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Philippians, being born in the likeness of men, and obediently accepting even death, death on the cross. Following the call to Jesus, of Jesus, to show mercy, as does the Father, we are admonished again, St. Gregory says, to develop the virtue of mercy through mutual charity, compassion, and sympathy for those whom God may send our way. This, he says, is the way that a Christian can change the world, through giving mercy. He says if we ever develop the virtue of mercy in our own lives, he says, envy would become futile, hate would die out, and all war would cease, if only we would develop the virtue of divine mercy. Mercy and compassion are something that we all can give, rich or poor. St. Theophylact of Bulgaria says that if we have absolutely nothing else to give, we can show mercy with tears of compassion. In that way, we are still able to imitate the Lord, as we sang in the antiphon earlier, who is compassionate and merciful, long-suffering, and of great goodness. Elsewhere it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far has he made his mercy to prevail over those that fear him. A true Christian, my brothers and sisters, realizes just how much mercy God has bestowed on him, how much mercy that he himself has received, and we are called upon to return that mercy to others. St. John of Kronstadt says that receiving that mercy from God, we must return it to others, just like the blind men today did when they ran out and told everyone about the mercies of Jesus Christ to them. And St. John says, for your mercy to the brethren, you will receive mercy from God. Mercy is reciprocal, he says. For temporal mercy, you will receive eternal mercy. For a little mercy, you will receive infinite mercy. As I said before, as the heights of heaven are above the earth, so far has the Lord made his mercy to prevail over all those that fear him. My brothers and sisters in Christ, imitating Christ, let us say with St. Gregory, let us do what he says and heed the voice of the Lord and become merciful in our own lives so that we, through mercy, may also become blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Thank you.